What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode. As always, I'm Antonio, and I'm here with...
Anthony, what's going on, everybody? Last week, we told you we were going to start bringing in somebody new, have an addition to our show. And today, we introduce you to Ben Joyner. Ben, how's it going?
It's good. Yourself?
Going good.
Welcome to the show, Ben.
Thank you.
It's nice to finally have you on here.
Thank you for having me.
So, from his accent, you guys could probably tell he's from South Jersey. Ben's from London, England. Has some experience under his belt. He's going to teach us some stuff. Talk about some Premier League. We're going to teach him about Serie A.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to it.
So for today's episode, we're basically going to be recapping where the teams are at the halfway point in the season. And we're going to dive deep into who their most influential players are and who's helping them the most achieve what their goals were for since the beginning of the season. But before that, Ben, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your knowledge of soccer?
I played in England for about 20 years in England.
Wow.
Yep. Been in America probably 22 years coaching. So I've come over here to coach. Coach from young kids all the way through to high school.
Very nice.
And now Ben is the owner of Shoreline United Premier Club.
I've heard some rumors. They're a pretty tough team to beat, aren't they?
We've got a few good teams there, yes.
Yeah.
For people that don't know, they're a youth team here in Connecticut, and you guys just went on
this
season.
Yes,
we all went your teams, didn't you?
Not all the teams.
I know your 14s went undefeated.
The 14s went undefeated. The 12s, I think, might have lost one game, right?
The 12s probably lost one or two games, yes.
And then the 11s lost two or three.
Yep.
But still.
U9s went undefeated. They won every game.
Right.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Doing a hell of a job over there.
We've got some good teams out there. We've got a lot of good players.
Yeah. Got some future pros over there, too.
And it was good to have Anthony coach with me this season.
The power duo.
Yeah.
The Italian and the English.
That's right.
Who would have ever thought of seeing that? All right. So why don't you lead us off? What are we getting started with today?
I think we should talk about who's going to be the most influential player or players for the respective teams for the second half of the season, whether it be the Premier League or Serie A.
Okay.
So we can go back and forth, or we could just do one league first, and then we'll jump onto the other league afterwards.
Obviously, let's start with the Prem. With Ben here, he has more knowledge about it. So let's start off with the team that's currently in first place, Man City. What are we thinking about them?
So for me, I think the two most influential players that are going to be able to keep that team up top are their two backs, Cancelo and Diaz. Without them, I think they're not going to win a whole lot of games. What do you think?
At the moment, I mean, the last 10, 12 games?
Yeah.
They're on a roll. Cancelo, he is flying at the moment. He's producing everything from his side.
He is. And Diaz is stopping everything as if he was playing a goalkeeper too. Did you see that one the other day?
Yeah.
So then we have Chelsea. My two guys probably are different than your two guys. I pick Mount and Jorginho. I think you need to have those two guys on the same page in order to advance and maybe make a run for that first place. Jorginho's been hitting all the free kicks, proving a point that he could do it still, you know, from Euro Cup. And Mount is Mount. I think he's a fantastic young player who's starting to come out of his shell.
Yeah. I'd say Lukaku. They need to keep him fit to have a chance running up the league there.
You know, right before Boxing Day, Lukaku was starting to go on a run, and then he decided to open up his mouth, and now he's sitting on the bench at the practice.
Well, they just brought him back.
Did they bring him back?
They brought him back, but he did have a few games where he was missing.
Look, we saw what Lukaku did to Serie A last year. If he can achieve that form for Chelsea, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
My issue, though, is that you said Mount and Jorginho, right? Those are your most influential players for Chelsea?
Yeah, I think so.
Obviously, we know that Jorginho is key in distributing the ball. He's got 6 goals on the season, all 6 of them coming from PKs.
Right.
I don't think he can sustain that. If they're going to keep relying him to take those PKs, we saw it happen with Italy. There's going to be crucial moments where he's going to crack under the pressure. He's going to miss it.
Well, that's because when he cracked under the pressure, it's because he stopped using the skip. Now that the skip's back in, he's not missing.
But even using the skip, it's just become readable. I know that it just seems like when Jorginho gets out of his rhythm or when he gets in his own head, his play suffers. I don't know if he's going to be able to consistently keep it up throughout the rest of the season. Now, Mount, on the other hand, I agree with you. He's got, 8, 9 goals on the season so far?
7 goals, 5 assists. Okay.
7 goals, 5 assists. I still think Mount's going to be a key part of that Chelsea lineup. I just don't see Jorginho keeping up with it. I think his play is going to suffer this second half of the season.
Could be.
It's a big sham. That's, we'll have to see.
I love Jorginho. He played for Napoli. He obviously won with the Italian national team, the Euro Cup. Sorry, Ben. But
that's okay.
It's just, I don't see him keeping up with it. That's all.
The next we have Liverpool. In my eyes, I think maybe two of the most fantastic players to watch. It's Salah and Alexander Arnold.
You can't forget about Jota, too.
Him, too.
He's got, what, another 7-8 goals on the season as well.
Plus Mane.
Yeah.
Plus Mane.
I don't understand how they're not in first
place. I think their biggest miss at the moment has been Robertson, because he's been injured a lot.
Right.
He produces a lot from the other side. Right. Otherwise, they're too predictable with Arnold.
Right, right. But Arnold's got one hell of a shot.
Oh, no. He's an amazing player.
And he's young, too.
But if you know he's only going for one side, they can block it a little bit.
So, Ben, we had a running joke. Anthony and I always like, we forget about Liverpool. Like, mm-hmm. We talk about all these other teams, and we always forget to talk about Liverpool. And I feel like, you know, we were just mentioning players, and then you brought in two other players that we forgot to mention. Do you think they're the most complete team?
I would say they probably are the most complete team. I think they're most exciting as well to watch.
They definitely are the most exciting. I mean, Salah, he's got what? 16 goals, 9 assists. He's played 20 games, over 1,700 minutes. The guy's just reliable. He's always a mainstay on that side. I don't understand how they're not in first over Man City.
I don't know.
Injuries. They suffer from injuries.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can tell you the first time I really watched them is when they played AC Milan, the Champions League. When they outclassed AC Milan.
I mean, it's not that hard to outclass AC Milan nowadays.
I don't know about that. They are in second. Napoli's what? In third or fourth?
I'm sorry?
Napoli's in what? Third or fourth?
We're not talking about Napoli. Okay. We're talking about Milan.
All right.
How was that 1-0 game for you, Ed?
Ooh.
Oh, man. He's going to jinx Napoli now. They're playing for the Coppa Italia. They're going to lose 14-0 to...
good riddance. We need to focus on the league.
Arsenal's future center forward.
Liverpool's biggest problem at the moment, though, is Salah. He's got contract issues. So they need to sort that out quickly.
Now, is Liverpool also one of those teams that gets forgotten about?
They have been forgotten about, yeah.
Right. So everyone feels so bad that they forget about
Everyone talks about Man City at the moment.
Ben knows about this a little bit more. What's going on with his contract? Is he asking for more money?
He's up in 18 months, and he's asking for like $400,000 a week, and they're not getting back to him yet.
Right. And the thing is, he's only 29, so he's still got about a good 3-4 years of play under him.
Yeah.
So he could easily leave.
They don't want it to drag on,
right?
Because everyone's just going to talk about it.
You know what I'd love to see? Him leave Liverpool, unite with Mourinho over at Roma, go back and finish the job that he started over there years ago.
How long ago was that?
Last he played for Roma was when they still had Alisson. So what was it, like 2013, 14?
Wow.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. You know he played for Fiorentina before that, right?
Only for like a year, right?
Yeah, Salah was on Fiorentina, Roma, and then he went to the Prem and never looked back.
He was at Chelsea before, wasn't he?
He's coming into his own, literally, almost, he's a late bloomer.
I wouldn't say he's a late bloomer. If anything, he just got into the ranks really early, and obviously being one of the younger guys, he was always looked over a little bit. At Fiorentina, he did extremely well for Fiorentina. He was playing out on the wing. It's Fiorentina. The time they were a club that, you know, battled to stay up in Serie A, they were always facing relegation or top to mid of the table. And then he goes to Roma and he starts having an incredible season. Roma ended up selling him for peanuts at the time. They were one good season. Let's get rid of him, get some money for him while we can, and that's it. And he went to Liverpool and he proved everybody wrong.
He's unbelievable.
I feel like a majority of the guys that we were talking about all have this backstory of they weren't good enough for their previous team.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to make it, and then here they are carrying their respective teams.
Well,
right?
if we're on the topic of players like that, there was one that I'm intrigued about, and it's Michael Antonio from West Ham.
We'll get there. But like Alexander Arnold, they said he was too skinny. He was going to get hurt all the time. And, you know, here he is, proving a point.
Yeah, go give the players a chance, haven't you? That's the thing.
And Alexander Arnold's still young. He's older.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of time.
So then the next team for me is Arsenal. This is where Ben's expertise comes in. For me, I think Gabriel Martinez and Smith Rowe are going to be key players going forward for the rest of the season. What do you think?
I do agree. I'd also say Partey as well. We're lacking midfield, like a centre midfield player. When Partey's there, it's good. But now he's at the African Nations Cup, so we're going to miss him for a month. We don't really have any replacements for him.
That African Nations Cup couldn't have come at a worse time.
Oh, yeah, unbelievable.
Dude, all these teams that are starting to miss out on players, it's like...
But the good thing is, it's not just one team that's missing out on players. Every team is missing out on players.
Not necessarily every team, though. There's some teams up at the top, for example, in the Prem. If we look at like a Man City or a Chelsea, they're able to still produce with players that they're missing because they have the depth. But you take a team like Arsenal, take a guy like Partey away, you're hurting.
You can't do it. Yeah. Same as Liverpool.
That's why you need these two guys. You need these two guys to be able to step it up. I mean, Martinelli, I'm telling you, this kid is just phenomenal.
He's a flying machine.
Exciting.
Smith Rowe is exciting as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we pointed out a couple of weeks ago why your son wears his shin guards the way he does.
Yeah, we spotted that the other day. Smith Rowe.
Yeah.
I'd also say Saka as well. He's going to be a big player.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the kid is...
he started for goals.
He's 19, 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know?
So, Ben, realistically, what's the expectation for Arsenal?
Arsenal this year to get in top four.
They need to get into top four.
But they need to throw some money out in January. They need extra players.
Which I think they will. I mean, I said it a few weeks ago. I thought the rumor of Vlahovic going to Arsenal was...
Don't get too excited about Vlahovic yet, though, because it seems like the contract that they're working under is that Vlahovic will join Arsenal
in July.
In July,
right?
Correct. But now they're saying in England, all the press every day that they
put their son.
Every paper, Sky Sports, everything. They're saying they're pushing for January because it's going to make the difference to get into top four.
Here's my issue with the media. Just yesterday, an article came out that Juventus is looking to acquire Vlahovic and take him from Arsenal. So I'll believe it when I see it.
No, I get you.
I do think he's going to end up at Arsenal, but I do think it's going to be in July because Fiorentina right now is making a push for that top four, which realistically it could happen. They can't do it without Vlahovic.
Right. Yeah. But at the end of the day,
it's all about money.
Money talks and the rest of it walks. So I don't think Juve could afford that transfer fee.
I will say this. Vlahovic in the beginning of the season was not open to staying at Fiorentina. He didn't even want to have contract talks.
Right.
Now that they're fighting for top four, the tune has changed a little bit.
So that was turning around.
Vlahovic is starting to say, you know, I like playing here. I like this team.
But they'll never pay him the $400,000 a week that he wants.
You don't know that because if Fiorentina is able to make Champions League with him on the roster, they now can afford to pay, negotiate his contract.
But what happens if they don't make Champions League, you know, finish the season in fifth place? He's just wasted a chance to play in the Champions League with Arsenal. Next year.
Well, hold up. Arsenal ain't there yet. No. They're in the same place.
But the point I'm making is that he knows going to Arsenal almost might solidify them making it to the Champions League.
Staying at Fiorentina could also solidify them making the Champions League. That's the biggest difference right now, is that Arsenal's in fifth, and I believe Fiorentina is in sixth or seventh place.
Fourth. Arsenal's in fourth, right?
They just dropped down yesterday.
Arsenal's in fifth. Fiorentina is in sixth or seventh. Juve's in fifth. So either way, they can make a push. This guy could end up making Champions League with both teams or miss out with both teams. Right. There's no guarantee anyway.
If I was him, I'd pack up my stuff.
There's one guarantee. We'll pay the money.
That's true.
He'll get his wages. Do you know what I mean? So,
at least he'll get that. All right, that's fair.
So then it brings us to West Ham. The guy you brought up a few minutes ago.
Michael Antonio.
Yeah.
I mean, I was looking at these stats. I've seen a couple of his games. I'm in complete amazement. But Ben, you were telling me something interesting before. Why don't you tell the listeners about Antonio?
When he first started, he was playing as right back, right midfield, all over the field. But never centre forward. Put him up centre forward within 2 years. That was so many goals.
Right now, he's got 8 goals, 5 assists.
He'll probably get 20 goals this season. Unbelievable. From being a right back.
It seems like he's literally carrying West Ham to the top, not the top of the table, but into the top half of the table.
Yeah, if he's not playing, they're half the team.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, they've gotten some incredible wins this season. West Ham has beaten Chelsea, Liverpool, Tottenham. Those are some big teams that they've gone up against and beat.
And he's had some incredible goals. If you go back and watch his goals, they're just unbelievable.
He's a solid player.
Yeah.
He's guaranteed to get goals and chances made.
You know, it's, and at 31 years old, to finally be stepping into the scene and being a key contributor like that, I wonder if some big team might make a push for him. Maybe not this transfer.
No, but that's a good shout as well.
Right? The one after saying, hey, we just need one top guy, one top striker for the next season, make a push Champions League, top of the table and Premier, see what they can do. Because I think he could fit any play style.
Yeah.
But the way that he plays.
Absolutely.
He looks good.
And then there's Bowen.
Bowen, yeah. He's had an exceptional season.
Attacking right mid, and he's got 5 goals and 7 assists. He's another
legend. Yeah, they're calling for him to get in the England team now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's having such a good season.
How old is he?
I think he's like 24, maybe 25. He's
young.
He's not old.
So then, that pretty much wraps up who I think could be influential for the remainder of the season with the Premier League. Now, how do you think it's all going to end, Ben? Ranking?
At the top?
From first to fifth.
I would say Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal.
Yeah, I think.
And then you can have West Ham. Forget West Ham. Tottenham.
Right. Oh, yeah, I don't think Tottenham had their brief glory after Conte came.
Well, actually, yeah, what do you two think about Conte then?
We jinxed Conte.
Sorry, Antonio. Sorry, we jinxed you.
Well, listen, I was the one who said it in the episode. I didn't think that Conte is that special or going to be considered one of the best managers ever. He's not consistent enough for him. He leaves every time something gets tough. So now, is he doing this to try and make his life easier and get some signings, saying like, hey, look.
That's what they're saying in England, yeah. Right. That's what they're going with.
I can't win with what I have. You need to give me more.
But he does need more. He needs a lot more than what he has.
Nah.
He's got an aging goalkeeper.
Yes. He got dropped yesterday.
He did.
Yeah.
They dropped him.
Yeah. For a semi-final. It makes no sense.
Wow. And then you have Harry Kane, who doesn't want to be there.
He doesn't want to be there.
So you have two ends of the field they've got to fix right away.
They need a centre back as well.
Yeah.
But if Conte wants any shot, he's got to keep Son on his good side. Son can't. Oh,
and he's injured for this season, for January now.
Oh, wow.
What did he hurt?
That just happened.
Just happened, yeah.
Wow.
What was it?
I'm not sure, but they said he's out till beginning of February now.
Oh, man. I mean,
he's a big player for them.
And I like him as a person. The things that this kid does at such a young age, for his community is unbelievable.
Well, Son's over his mid-20s now.
Yeah.
He's starting to get a little bit older, but he's still a key contributor. He's a good player.
Do you remember a couple years back when he went in for that slide tackle and broke the kid's leg? Most players would have, went over and looked at him and walked away. This kid just broke down in tears. And it was hysterical.
Oh, I remember that, yeah. Yeah.
After the game, rushed over to the hospital, make sure he was all right.
Because he didn't mean to do it.
No, he didn't.
Ben, let me ask you a question, knowing more about the Prem. Whatever happened to Dele Alli?
They're looking to get rid of him in January.
But there was such
a... They've had some managers come through, think he's going to be good again, give him one or two games.
They don't give him enough time.
Nothing happens. They're moving him on.
I don't think it's that they're not giving him enough time.
Well, no, they have said, in England, they reckon it off the field.
Off the field issues?
Off the field issues, yeah. He's got too much going on with what he's doing.
Right.
So we got
immaturity type thing, going out drinking, almost like an
about. He's more into fashion shows and everything else now.
Is he hanging out with your guy over there from Arsenal after the games?
Aubameyang?
Yeah.
Probably. Aubameyang's in the nightclub at the moment. He's just got in trouble again.
It's such a shame.
He got in trouble again. Yeah. And they haven't released him.
Well, they're trying to get rid of him, so we'll see what happens here.
Rumor has it that at the end of this season, Aubameyang is out.
They're trying to do January, aren't they? January. They're trying to look for someone to take them on loan.
You know who should take them? AC Milan. They love their old guys.
Yeah, but
they can't afford
him. He wouldn't last with Ibra in the locker room.
Oh.
If anything, Ibra might set him straight.
Yeah,
he could do with that as well.
With an open hand slap.
Exactly.
What's your thoughts on Newcastle?
Newcastle. So.
That's interesting.
I don't know. I think they should have made some moves here in January.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to get relegated with all this money that they have.
There's still time.
That's why you got to make moves now. Bring in 4 players. They have the money to do it. Try to make a push to get out of the bottom 4. And then next season, in the offseason, make your final push to try to go
again.
Mid-table.
I think we'll see them in the championship next.
I don't think we will, actually.
You think they're going to climb the table?
Well, if you look at the table, they're
right now
2 points behind Watford. If they bring in 4 or 5 players, I think they can finish above Watford. They've just bought Burnley's centre forward, so they're going to struggle. Norwich are down, basically.
Norwich came here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah, that's what they do every season. They go up, have a good time, go back down. And the others, Leeds probably too far away. 8 points in it. I'll say it's between Newcastle, Burnley and Watford.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I don't see Leeds or Everton going down.
No, Everton have got too many injuries. They'll get players back.
Right.
Leeds would probably pick up enough wins.
But I know we mentioned this earlier too, obviously not to our listeners, but just so you guys know, we don't think Brentford's going down either.
No, they won't go down.
Brentford's at 23 points at this part of the season.
That's plenty of points.
Right.
They probably only need probably 10 more points to stake.
Newcastle has to make something happen in the next three. They have to get one or two guys to help them.
Yeah, they need four players. Four, minimum.
Because what's going to happen? They get relegated, right? Now that's a wasted season because nobody wants to go play for Newcastle they've been relegated. I don't think, you know, they could throw all sorts of money to Ibra or whoever, and they're not going to go, yeah, I'll go play in the second league.
No, but I think with Newcastle, listen, they took over, what was it? The new owners took over in the beginning of the season?
Midway through.
Even if they do get relegated, it's not a bad idea to start rebuilding and then move your way back up. They don't have to stay in the Prem and scramble.
So that's two parts, right? If guys like you and I bought Newcastle, that's a smart way to do it. But when you got all that money coming in, you can't because now you look like you just screwed up royally.
Right. But here's the thing. You can have the money. It doesn't mean you're going to make it work. You got to remember when Napoli first brought in Maradona, and again, I always speak about Napoli, but it's what I know the most about. They almost got relegated. And we had arguably the best player in the world playing for us at the time. So it doesn't mean that the money is going to fix everything. What you need is the money and time. And I don't know if there's enough time for this team to be fixed for this season. That's where my concern comes.
Maybe one of these days.
It would be funny if they went down.
It would be
hysterical.
Maybe one of these days we'll bring in the Newcastle expert and see what he thinks. If we can get
Jamie
a hold of
Geordie.
Him after that loss.
Yeah, but you know they're so biased. It's unbelievable.
Right.
I'd love to hear what he has to say.
Ugh, going about it for about 5 hours.
We don't have that much time.
No. I'm telling you now.
Hey, if you guys want a 5-hour special, let us know. We'll definitely bring it
on. It'll be all Newcastle for 5 hours straight.
Yeah.
We love you, Jamie.
All right, so why don't we take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll be going into Serie A and who we think the most influential players are going to be. All right, and we're back. So now it's time for my favorite part of the episode, when we're going to be talking a little bit about Serie A. Ben, what's your take on Serie A? I got to know.
Well, I must admit, when I was growing up, it was the biggest league in the world. Yeah, many great players come through. And then you had a dip, probably 10 years, 15 years. And now it looks like it's back on the up again.
Yes.
Isn't it funny? As soon as Juve started cheating, we started...
That's right.
That is true.
But then again, every time Juve cheats, Italy wins the world.
Yeah, so let's hope we can qualify for it first.
That's true.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
Especially now that I think their best player is out for the playoff.
Chiesa out with an ACL.
When is the game?
It's March.
Yeah, I know it's in March.
14th, like that.
I forget who our first is against, but if we end up winning, we go to the finals. Possibly
Portugal.
Yeah, it's a big game.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if we make it to a final in the World Cup, Bonucci are going to Ronaldo.
Oh, I think so too.
It'll be good to watch that one.
I think that's why they set it up now.
I don't know if you guys saw, Bonucci yesterday slapped an Inter official in the face.
Did he? I saw that. I didn't know what that was about.
So, Bonucci was getting ready to go in. They're probably putting him in at the last minute PK. We all know that doesn't work. So.
thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's harsh.
But to Bonucci's defense, he hasn't missed a PK in 8 years, so.
Right, but Bonucci and the rest of the team were basically pleading, put me in earlier, right? And they didn't put him in. So, Alexandro with the beautiful assist to Inter's Sanchez for the game-winning goal, a 2-1, Bonucci got pissed. One of the Inter officials must have said something to Bonucci like, oh, they should have put you in earlier or something along those lines. Bonucci got heated, walked over and slapped him right in the face.
He's like the general of Juve. Like, you can't even talk while you're eating lunch during training. Everything's got to be serious.
Matter of fact.
Listen, he's the modern day Gattuso.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Gattuso that slapped, one of Tottenham's coaches in the face during the Champions League?
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you watch that All or Nothing, there's a scene where Chiesa's talking during lunch and Bonucci tells him basically to shut the heck up because they're trying to eat. You don't talk.
He's a piece of work, yeah.
I mean, listen, that's why he's one of the best defenders in the world.
Yeah, exactly. You have to have that kind of discipline.
At his age, still come at the top the way he does, especially with old man Keeler there.
Yeah.
Those guys are the best for him.
Yeah, look after themselves.
So, this is your specialty.
My specialty. I love this Serie A.
Your influential players that are going to carry their teams the rest of the season.
All right. So, we already talked about them, but obviously, if we're starting with the most influential player in Serie A, it's got to be Vlahovic.
Sure.
Fiorentina's sitting in seventh place. He's a huge contributor to that. He's got 16 goals, 3 assists, 5 of them coming off of PKs. And Vlahovic this season has been scoring goals out of nowhere, basically, is the only way to put it. He's creating his own chances. Give him the minimal amount of space needed for him to get a shot off, and he will score. That's how Vlahovic has been playing this season. And that's why he's getting interest from all over.
I was going to say, I've got one question for you.
Yeah.
What's he going to do when he's playing for Arsenal for the rest of the season?
Not that, because in the Premier League, it's going to be a little bit harder. We had this conversation earlier. I think the defenders in the Premier League are much more physical. It seems like, at least from my opinion, it seems that in the Premier League, physical play is allowed to go on longer. In Serie A, we're calling, you know, blow and whistle, giving cards out right away. I've watched some Premier League games. I'm like, give these guys a hammer and hatchets. Like, that's how physical it's getting.
You normally get to the second half, unless it's a real bad foul.
Right. So I don't know how Vlahovic is going to be able to adjust with that type of pressure and physicality. Could he do it? Yes, but I think it'll take him time.
It'll take him 2 games to get used to it.
But this is why I was saying it would be better to bring Vlahovic in July for Arsenal. So that way he could go through a whole training season with them and then get onto the pitch for when the new season starts. If you bring him in now, it's going to take him time.
Yeah, I don't think Arsenal can wait that long. They need him now.
Yeah, they do.
That's the difference.
They need to make that push.
They need him. I know they do. But I think you get Vlahovic in and he suffers, what does it do for the kid's mentality? So it's tough. It's tough. And I know Fiorentina really need him because Fiorentina, as I mentioned before, they're looking to make that push for fourth place. They want to be back in the Champions League. So I hope they keep him. I know you want Arsenal to get him right away.
Listen, 100%.
We got 20 days left to see what happens.
So that's the only person you have for Fiorentina?
For Fiorentina, yeah, I only had Vlahovic.
See, in my head, I think he might be leaving in January, so I picked somebody else.
Who?
Zapata. You make that look, but he's going to have to step up. He's going to have to be that leader from the back and push the team forward.
What has Zapata done to contribute?
Defensively?
You realize their defense.
Well, that's why he's got to step up.
Right, but you can lose Vlahovic and kiss all your hopes and dreams goodbye. You can lose Zapata and still somehow recover. So I don't agree with you, Zapata player on that. You're just not.
Well, I guess we'll find out at the end of January.
We will see. So, like, I can understand if you said Torreira or anybody else, but Zapata?
You need to have a defender step up.
Well, we know Ben loves Vlahovic and wants to see him in Arsenal, so.
And I think he scored 100%. Today. I'm pretty sure he scored today against Napoli.
Yeah, we'll find out afterwards.
Yeah, and they'll be scoring for Arsenal very soon.
So, next, we got to talk about him. You know I hate him on the national league. He's something else. Chiro Immobile.
No, yeah.
So, we got to talk about him. Lazio's not doing well this season. They're sitting in eighth place after a few seasons of them in the top five. I don't know what's going on with them. We know that Sarri coach teams, and I believe you guys saw this in the Prem as well with Chelsea, it takes time. It's a system. He can't just plug and play. He has to train his players a certain way, and once they learn the system, everything starts to function at full speed. That's obviously been a struggle right now. Does he have the pieces at Lazio? He says he does. But one of those main pieces is Immobile. It's a type of striker that Sarri does well with. If we remember Gonzalo Higuain at Napoli, right?
Yep.
Guy ended up having 36 goals that one season, and he was a huge contributor to making Sarri look good. Immobile could do the same for Sarri.
And what's he got now, Immobile?
He's at 15 goals and 2 assists. And here's the crazy part about Immobile. In years past, under Inzaghi, Immobile's been a top goal scorer, but it was always with PKs, all right? He would have, you know, 18 goals and 13, 14 PKs. Not this year. This year, in Sarri's system, they are consistently finding him and giving him opportunities to score. So maybe the Italian national team should, take some pointers from Sarri and let's get this guy involved. You guys had any other opinion on Immobile?
I agree with you on Immobile. I like the Immobile, even though he didn't score during the Euros when it mattered. You know, I think it has something to do with their system there.
But Immobile in the Euros made me so mad because it wasn't even that he wasn't scoring. It's that he wasn't even contributing in any other way. When he was fully healthy against, you know, when we're playing Turkey, Sweden, teams like that, at least he was opening up space for the players behind him to follow in with the ball. Once he started getting those nagging injuries, he wasn't even doing that anymore. And all it was doing was basically crowding us and making it much harder for us to find spaces to score. That's why I have an issue with Immobile.
Right.
If he's not fully healthy for the national team, don't play him because he's not going to contribute. So we talked about 2 teams sitting in 7th and 8th. Might as well just bring up the first place team. Got to talk about Martinez and Çalhanoğlu. All right. You know Çalhanoğlu very well, Anthony.
Yep.
Coming over from AC Milan. This guy is one of the best midfielders in Serie A, in my opinion. There's actually been interest for him in the Prem. I don't know if anything's ever going to come out of it. He seems to love Italy, but 7 assists, 6 goals, and he's basically reworked all of Inter Milan's midfield this season. He's creating opportunities for Martinez, for Dzeko. It's crazy to say that a guy like Çalhanoğlu is making Inter Milan forget who Lukaku is.
Right.
Because he's making it so easy for the other guys up top.
Sure. No, I agree with you. I also think Barella could come into play, even Dzeko. But yeah, I totally agree with you there.
I mean, listen, Çalhanoğlu, he's the most influential for me. Martinez is a close second.
How is Martinez doing this season?
He's doing very well. 11 goals, 2 assists. I think 2 or 3 of them off of PKs. So he's really picked up the slack from what we all thought was going to be left by Lukaku.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Martinez had these numbers last season anyway.
Yeah, he had a lot of interest in England in the summer. They wanted to bring him over.
Martinez is one of those players, let me tell you, between Italy, Spain, and Inter, everybody's always interested in him. Remains to be seen if he stays at Inter. He, you know, pledged loyalty and love for them. But we've seen players do this all the time. So. Yeah,
it's all about a new contract.
How old is Barella? He's young, right?
Barella's 23, 24.
So he's got some time to fill
in
the shoes.
He's got some time. I'm not too impressed with him this season. I think he had a good Euro run in the summer, but... Is he a key contributor for Inter? Yeah, absolutely.
But he's going to be even more as time goes on, I think.
Inter Milan is a well-oiled machine. That's the only way to put it. Inzaghi's doing a good job with them. Each player knows their role, and they fit the system that he's coaching. But it helps when you have extremely talented players. And then last but not least, go ahead, Ben. I'm sorry,
Sanchez?
Alexis Sanchez?
How's he been doing? Arsenal, you know, ex-Arsenal player. Interested.
So, Sanchez is the reason one of the Inter officials got slapped in the face by Bonucci yesterday. Not directly, but no. Sanchez, look, he's up there in age. Mm-hmm. He can't do what he used to do. But Sanchez is coming on like that super sub. He's still an incredible player.
So he's an impact player now.
Yeah, he's an impact player. You know, yesterday he comes on. He ends up scoring the game-winning goal. What was it, 18th, 19th minute?
119th minute.
Yeah.
But he said before, beautiful assist from Alexandro. If you saw the play, Alexandro plays for Juventus. he chests the ball on the 6-yard line, and here comes...
I'll get you, yeah.
You know.
But that's where a player like Alexandro is useful, because he has the experience.
Yep.
He's played in these so many different leagues. I mean, he played in the Spanish League, the Italian, the Premier League. He's gotten experience from all over, and he recognizes a situation like that when he sees it. Because you know how many players wouldn't have continued on with the play and just let the keeper come out and get that ball? Right. Sanchez found a way to get himself in the middle and score that goal.
There was a similar play, I believe, in the Premier League last week. I forget who it was. The ball was literally out on the 6-yard line. I forget who was playing. Just watch the keeper fumble the ball around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he should have gotten that. Yeah.
Listen, it happens, but that's where, you know.
That could have been Norwich, actually. Was it?
It could have been. I can't remember now.
Is that when he just let it bounce, or is it?
No.
There was another one in the 6-yard box.
Where you and I would have been yelling at the forward to get to, you know.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if Norwich, though.
Yeah.
Listen, Sanchez, I've always liked him. I wanted him to come to Napoli years ago, but for his age and what he's capable of doing now, and I think he's still under contract. Manchester United.
He probably is, actually. Because of the wages and everything
I'm
else.
I'm pretty sure, like, Inter's getting a deal with Sanchez.
Yeah. Well,
they're getting proven leadership, a veteran, and they're only paying half the price of what he actually costs. So it's impressive. Yeah, but last but not least, I got to talk about Berardi. And it's crazy that most of my influence are from 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th place team. But same thing, Berardi did well in the Euro Cup, leading Sassuolo to victory right now with 10 goals, 8 assists, 3 of them coming off of PKs. And Sassuolo actually has a good go. They got a few other young players that...
They do.
Fratesi is one of them, right? They're calling him the future. Gianluca Scamacca, right? They got all these young players that seem to be doing well. And if Sassuolo can get a hold of them with Berardi on that squad, they can do extremely well in the future. Chances are, this is Italy. What's going to happen is Juve, Inter, Milan, Roma, they're all going to come through, buy all these young guys, leave Sassuolo fighting for...
Relegation.
Exactly. But
Scamacca might make a run
in the
playoffs. This kid's something else. Yeah. He's like on fire right now.
Scamacca's doing very well.
He can't.
And so is Fratesi.
Yeah.
Fratesi is another young midfielder. Came out of nowhere and seems to be playing well. He's actually... his name got mentioned to get called up for the Italian national team.
Oh, wow.
So that's extremely impressive.
No, all your players came from lower tier teams. Who do you think is going to help these other teams that are in the top five keep them up there or help them make that push in the first place? Because it's only a four-point difference, if I remember correctly.
No, it's an 8-point difference right now, and Inter Milan is actually down a game. So okay. Inter Milan, once they make up their game, they could be at 5 points. Listen, for Inter, we talked about it. Calhanoglu and Martinez. AC Milan? AC Milan is tough. I mean, they are just getting back Rebic.
Yep.
Okay? So you played the whole first half of the season without Ante Rebic.
Yep.
And you were able to stay in between first, second, and third place. They're not far behind Inter. I think Rebic could be that influential player for the second half of the season and give them the extra push that they need. Is he going to score a lot of goals this season? That I don't know. I do know that him and Ibra work well together.
They do.
Ibra's constantly looking for him. It's funny. You would think Rebic would be assisting Ibra, but it's the other way around. Ibra always ends up assisting Rebic. So, no, it'll be interesting.
For me, for Milan, Ibra's definitely one of the guys there that, you know, has to be influential with his leadership experience. And then Tonali. His youth?
Tonali,
I'm sorry.
Tonali. Looks like you share all the goals around AC Milan.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah.
Dayo Hernandez has a whole bunch of goals, too, coming out of that left back position.
So, Padre Pioli is actually doing a good job with it. And that's why they're able to distribute all around. They're not relying on just one source for all their goals to come. Right.
Yeah, looking back, yeah.
Because before the season started, they were thinking they could rely on Brian. Hasn't been too reliable, you know, injuries, this, that, and the other thing. So,
Brian is also still young.
Yes, very. He is young.
The other thing, too, is like you knew what you were getting out of Zlatan Ibrahimovic. This guy will play a game and sit too. He's old. He has to take care of his body a little bit differently than the rest of the players. You bring in Giroud, okay? Giroud is still a good player. He's done some good things for AC Milan this season, but he's not going to be there every single game, okay? So, you can't rely on him. Then they bring in Mesias, a 31-year-old striker who climbed the ranks. I mean,
it's a story. A story. I'm just saying, of stories.
Popping up.
So, Ben, this guy basically worked full time and played amateur soccer up until, what was it, Ant? Maybe his mid 20s?
Yeah.
Mid to late 20s. Finally gets a shot with a second division team, helps him climb to Serie A. His efforts don't go unnoticed. He gets signed by AC Milan. So now everybody's like, all right, it's a good depth signing. He's not going to do anything special for us. Well, Ibra goes. Giroud goes out. A bunch of other players are hurt, COVID, everything that's going on. Mesias comes on and starts scoring goals for AC Milan.
That's a great story.
And he got his first big break at the age of 31 years old. It's incredible.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I'll be looking at him.
Player.
And he's good. It's not like, it's not fluke. It's he's
just
good.
Never got the chance before.
Never got the chance. The only player that I remember like that, and he didn't even break it that late, is Luca Toni.
Right.
Luca Toni, if you guys remember,
he was
27, 28 is when he finally got his big break with Fiorentina. So then went to Bayern. It's crazy to see a player go unnoticed for so many years and then finally make it to the top. And it's like, how were you not here years ago?
Right. But sometimes it takes...
Well, sometimes it takes someone to believe in you as well.
Right.
Sure. You know? Someone to believe in you and a little politics.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's next for you? How about Napoli, your team? Who do you think is going to help Napoli push forward?
Holy Spirit of Diego Armando Maradona is going to be the only thing.
I actually have that on my list.
So, no. Napoli's in shambles. We just lost Anguissa and Pulido to the African Cup.
Right.
Okay. Osimhen stayed behind, but that's because he's still recovering. It's facial surgery. Mertens looks like he's out the door. Insigne looks like he's out the door. Fabian is recovering from an injury. And it's like... I feel like I have more bad things to say about Napoli's roster than good things to say about it.
So, knowing many Napoli fans, Ben,
they
are the most negative fans in the world. All of them. Every single one. They could win 20 games in a row, lose one, and like, that's it. It's over. The season's done.
That's the Italian in it.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's not the Italian in us. Our captain is leaving us to go play for Toronto in the MLS.
Yeah, I mean,
we become a joke at this point.
That makes no sense at all to me.
That's not Napoli, the city, not Napoli, the fans. That's Napoli owner, De Laurentiis. That's his fault. He's leaving to go over there, and that's the end of it.
But listen, financially, I get why De Laurentiis did it. What bothers me is, listen, I'm a Naples guy at heart, right? If I had the opportunity to play for my childhood club that I was a fan, grew up watching, with the captain's armband on, you could pay me $500,000 a season. I will stay.
Not if you know you're better than half the players and they're making more money.
And maybe that's where the issue lies with this novel. A lot of these younger players that we've brought in are only money-oriented and they don't care about the history of the team. Because for somebody who cares about the history of the team, like I said, $500,000, forget it. You can pay me $100,000. This is my team. This is my city. I want to win
here. I'm pretty sure that's how he's feeling. He's feeling that he's underpaid and he's better than half of these kids that they're bringing in and they don't want to give him money. So there's no other option but to go.
But yeah, but you want to know what? He's also 31 years old. Oshimen, 24. Lozano, 25. Elmas, he's 21, 22. These young kids that we're bringing, we're building a project for the future. At 30 years old, you can't go demanding the most money out of the club.
But you also got to fix his last contract, innit?
Right.
So he's going to look around.
Right.
He wants to, you know, financially secure himself.
I can't blame him because that it's smart what you just said, and it makes sense. It's just as a...
As a fan.
As a fan growing up in that city and knowing how much the team's to us,
yep.
You'd never think that a player that was born in the same city and wearing the captain's armband would make a choice about money or pride, over loyalty. I don't even know how to describe it, over loyalty, basically.
Well... I don't know. I kind of.
Did they offer him a new contract?
They did.
It was
Was it nothing?
$6 million, $7 million.
No, we offered.
Went to Toronto.
No, he did.
Yeah.
It was nine before tax. Once the taxes come out.
Okay, so if you're right, this guy went to Toronto for an extra $2 million.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't make sense.
To me. Yeah, but it must be added on.
There's bonuses and stuff because it's the MLS, right? He's a designated player, so there's incentives for him to be able to rise. And not for nothing, you got to remember, Napoli owns his image rights. In Toronto, he's going to own his own image rights.
Yeah, so that's...
He's gonna, right.
So if he wants to go do a shoot with Adidas,
maybe that's why I saw 15 because probably incentives and everything else, he can make up to 15.
But realistically, his salary, he's looking at making $5.5-6 million, nothing crazy.
So
with that being said, who's gonna help Napoli this season? Our goalkeeper, Ospina. Ospina's gonna be the influential player.
Ospina, yeah, used to play for Arsenal. How's he been doing?
And Ospina's been phenomenal. Believe it or not, Alex Medet, who's the second goalkeeper of the Italian national team, Ospina starts over him. And a lot of people thought that wouldn't happen because of his age. But Ospina is really, the way he knows how to play out of the back with the ball at his feet.
Yep.
And our defenders can trust him at any point in time to get out of danger.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah, he's a huge security blanket. So I really do think Ospina and the saves he's been making this season are phenomenal. The guy looks like he's in his prime at the age of, what, 34?
That's normally when a goalkeeper makes their prime.
Yeah, he's in his prime. So rumors are he's going to be leaving after the season, which is sad to hear. But he's going to be the part that helps us win in the second half of this season.
Well, when Oshimen comes back, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I think he'll be a huge, huge boost to the team.
Oh, absolutely.
He's the kid, something else. Have you seen him at all?
No.
Oh, something else.
Arsenal almost bought him. I know for a fact. But after you guys swiped Pepe from us, we made sure that you guys didn't get Oshimen.
Yeah, you can have Pepe. Yeah. He hasn't even played much this year. He played about 10 minutes the other day in the
Premiership. I'll tell you what, though. In Italy, he would have played.
I think he's a good player. I don't think Arteta rates him, so he doesn't play.
And then we got Juve. They're hurting.
Their most influential player just towards ACL.
Yeah, Chiesa.
Yeah.
But you got guys that can step up. We have one guy that at the beginning of the season, Allegri said, we have no place for this kid. McKinney. We have no place. We have no place because he's American. He doesn't know how to play our style. And now they won't even talk to anybody who's looking to grab him during a transfer market.
He's going to be a fixture at Juventus. They're talking about keeping him there and possibly building around him.
How's Locatelli playing? Locatelli.
Doing all right for when he goes.
I think Locatelli he's getting adjusted to playing for a bigger club. He's used to being surrounded by a lot of talent on the national team, and that's when he looks at his best.
Gotcha.
Right now, the way he's playing at Juventus, it would have made no difference if he was Juve or Sassuolo. Juve is just as good as well due to injuries, so he's not getting his chance to shine. When he has the playmakers around him, though, Locatelli can afford to get up and be crucial in scoring goals or assisting goals. As of right now, he looks like he's playing a little more reserve or defensively.
Another question for you. Yeah. Arthur. Because they reckon Arthur.
Ooh. That's the only way I can put it. Arthur is, he needs to go.
Yeah.
He needs to go.
In the papers, I reckon he's going to Arsenal.
Oh, I hope he does more for you guys than he ever did in Italy. Because
he's done nothing?
He's done nothing.
The other guy that I'm thinking can stop.
Hold on. Wait a second. Speaking of Arsenal, Juventus, Premier, and Serie A, didn't Ramsey play for Arsenal?
He did. Yeah. He's leaving this.
Yeah, January. You guys should have kept him. No. Because he's done nothing in Italy.
He was never going to do anything in Italy.
All right, so, no.
Was he good for Arsenal?
He had one good season, and then he was injured all the time.
Yes.
Because that's what happened a couple years ago. He got injured for Juve, and
but now
hasn't done
he's
that.
Healthy. He doesn't even play. He's just sitting there collecting a paycheck.
He's not good enough for Juventus.
No, I don't understand why he ever went there. Why they ever even signed him. There is one funny stat, though. Funny. But whenever Ramsey scores a goal, because it's so not common, it's not often that it happens, you know what I'm talking about? Whenever Ramsey scores a goal, somebody famous dies. It's a proven stat. Oh, really? You could go back and look this up. I swear I'm not making this up.
I will be looking this up.
Whenever Ramsey has scored in a game, the night after or the day after, a celebrity has passed away.
Who was it this time?
Ramsey hasn't scored in years. But
thank God. I thought it was Betty White or Bob Saget.
But I don't remember because it's been so long ago since he actually got to play. But yeah, this whole article went around on the internet about explaining that he's bad luck. He made a deal with the devil.
Now, with Juventus, another player that comes to mind that I think potentially could do really well now that Chiesa's out is Bernardeschi. He's starting to look really good. He looked good yesterday.
Listen, he's been in form since the Euros. Bernardeschi, I think he's another one that his late age has found his form.
Right.
I think Juventus is finally starting to use him because before he was just a guy that came off the bench, you know, minutes, and it always boggled my mind, why would Juve keep him? And it's like a Deschiglio, you know, like Deschiglio doesn't play often, but obviously Bernardeschi, Deschiglio, these are guys that Allegri trusts. So with Chiesa out, it's an opportunity for Bernardeschi to come in and show what he's worth. I think he proved to be special for the second half of the season.
How's Keane?
Moises Keane?
No.
Not playing much?
No. So, I think in time, and also, wasn't it under Allegri that he got sent? I'm pretty sure it was Allegri that won.
I think so.
So, now they're just, you know, he's there, but him and Caio Jorge, I haven't seen much from either.
That's all I have for City. Yeah, I mean, we didn't talk about Atalanta, but I think they're going to slowly fade into
the darkness.
Yeah.
It'll be tough. Atalanta is one of those teams, just when you got nothing, they always do it with players. Their youth system is incredible. And on top of it, all these signings that, for low cost, and players that haven't produced anywhere else, but they'll produce in Atalanta. It makes no sense. That's just Gasperini for you and what he's doing over there. There's one player I want to touch on before we end. This is a guy passed around the league, and we all know him because of his father. His father was a good player, great coach. Simeone. Simeone is having a hell of a season at Hellas Verona. I believe right now he has 12 goals and 3 assists playing on a team that's in third place. He's single-handedly keeping them out of the relegation zone. Simeone ended up scoring what? It was, I think, against Juventus. He scored 3 goals.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Earlier in the season.
Yeah, no, I wasn't paying attention.
I mean, he put an end to them. They're just him by himself. So who knows if Simeone is a guy that may get a chance, bigger team.
How old is he now?
Simeone's got to be 26, 27.
So he's still young.
Yeah, he's not that old. And that's the thing. That's,
he'll get another move then.
Right, yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Because there was so much pressure put on him, who his father was.
Right.
That I don't think he was able to succeed. And he was, you know, he was at Fiorentina for a while, made his way around other clubs. But now with Verona, he's really starting to shine. So, well,
you know, Napoli, he's a forward, right?
Yeah, Napoli.
Why not?
Because we have Osimhen, we have Pedagna, and if anything, they're talking about bringing Alessio to our youth system.
Oh.
So, Napoli's going to be a while before we spend on defense. We'll be spending.
Yeah, they're gonna need somebody to compliment Koulibaly back there.
Yeah, that's for sure. If he even stays,
he'll probably move. Won't he?
That good.
He's been touted for ages, haven't he?
PSG or Manchester United.
Yeah.
Chances are he's probably going to go to a team that has a shot at winning something or retire.
He can mentor Ben White.
He could well do. Yeah. We need defenders as well. We need a lot of players.
For me, I'm good. I think we covered everything.
Yeah.
But Ben.
I think all good. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, Ben, it was a pleasure having you on today. Hopefully we can do this more often. And for our listeners, if there's anything that you think we missed, please reach out to us in the DMs, comment on our posts, and we'll definitely try to engage in conversation with you guys. Thanks for listening, as always, and we hope to see you soon.
See you later.